Lord, please, we know that you've prepared our hearts this morning. We're ready to receive your word. Lord, I pray that the seed of your word, that we would just always remember, your word never returns void, that it's going to bring a harvest. And so, Lord, I just pray today that the seed sown in faith will create a great harvest. And Jesus, we just praise you. We thank you. Lord, we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, church, here we go.
Whew. Am I on? You got me, Adam? Okay, if I look like I don't know what I'm doing, it's true. If you're new here, like Alex said, this isn't a normal thing. Alex usually delivers, or you'll get stoned up here. Someone who knows what they're doing. If you haven't seen the signs, read the signs, check your calendar. It is Mother's Day today. And if you forgot, there's still time. Yeah, there's still time, but there's very little time. When Alex told me or asked me to preach, I said, perfect. Mother's Day, everyone will go to their mom's church. You didn't. Most of you are here, and I think I see a couple of people brought their moms. There's some faces that I'm really glad to see, actually, so it kind of helps. It also makes me even more nervous. So as Alex, you know, he also said, I'm not going to be there. And I'm like, I told Alex this morning, but the vision I had was, remember back in school, the teacher's gone, the sub is in, they're rolling in that TV with a VHS player. I was like, yep, we're going to watch a video. No, here he is. So I have to admit, I'm actually really excited for this message. As nervous as I am, it felt right. I really trust Alex that whatever prompted that, it might be a message that we need to hear. So I think you read it correctly on this one. And I appreciate the opportunity. I'm humbled by it. To get us started, Mother's Day, how did this come to be? This sounds like an American holiday, right? Like we've Americanized it, if nothing else. But if we go back to the roots of Mother's Day, it actually goes all the way back to Greece and then to the Romans. And if you think Greece and Rome existed at the same time, you're wrong. Your school failed you. It failed me too. So it goes back a long way. And the Roman piece is important because later, early Christians actually adopted somewhat of a version of Mother's Day. And then obviously we get to the modern times, and this lady named Anna Jarvis in the U.S., her mom was really impactful on her life, and she kind of pushed to make it an official holiday. And then our president at the time in 1914, Woodrow Wilson, signed it into law that it's an official holiday. So this is where we are. My point with this is it's been known for a very long time that moms make a difference. And whether they celebrated it for other reasons back in Greece through Rome, but when Christians got a hold of this, I think it started to take on meaning other than just fertility. It started to be a biblical meaning. And I think that's where we are today, and that's what we're going to focus on today. There's your history lesson. As I was sitting on this and trying to come up with what's the passage going to be today? How are we going to communicate effectively? I had like 500 different scenarios that none of them panned out, and I kept coming back to Proverbs 31. If you have your Bible, you can start going to Proverbs 31 right now, and we're going to actually focus on verses 10 through 31, but I won't go to that just yet. I would really encourage you to go there. And if you have something to write with, I would get that ready as well. Because while today is encouragement, I'm also going to challenge you. And if you are a man sitting out in this audience and you think you got nothing to do today, you are wrong. There are a couple challenges for you as well. I do want to preface, this message is for moms. But it is also for all women. And there are some three young ladies in the very back. And when I saw you walk in today, I thought, you better be ready. Because there is a word for you in here. It's a word of encouragement. And you might not think of yourselves in this way, but you will when you leave. And I hope that everything that we say from this stage comes from the context of you need the Holy Spirit. If you want to do any of this by yourself, good luck. But if you let the Spirit flow through you, power you through this, I promise you, you can do it. So I think we can all agree, moms, it's a tough gig. If you're 18 right now and you don't get that, in about 4 years, you're going to have this revelation, and you're going to say, wow, I really put my mom through the ringer. I remember the day I had that. It was pretty heavy, and I especially see it now with my wife. I see the burden she bears that I don't even consider. My kids get sick, I'm like, get over it. And she's like, this thing's got to work. We got to do this. We got to get that figured out. What if they die? I'm like, I'm still back here. I'm still wondering about the next meal that we're going to eat here. So a little dramatic, but I get it. That is the difference between mom and dad, between woman and man. We're not changing that here today, folks. I don't think we're going to change it ever. So let's embrace it. You know, let's power through it. And one of the things about being a mom, the other day we had some baptism. And we will call that here at church, I think Alex used the term, I'm stealing it, mountaintop moment. If you want to be a mom and live off mountaintop moments, you're going to fail. I think those moments are important. And Alex had the stock chart up. I'm doing an awesome job of showing it to you. In that stock chart, we're looking for steady growth up. We're looking for spikes every once in a while. Those are those mountaintop moments. But it's the life in between those moments. That's the daily life. That's what we're going to focus on today. You can have your baptisms. You can have your graduations. You can have the moments where your kids show that they get it. You'll have a prayer at dinner. Your kid is going to say something, and you're going to be like, they get it. There's your mountaintop. We don't have those all the time. So I think those propel us, but we need something every day. We need something in the daily grind, we call it, at work. And we use that in a very positive as a positive meaning to us. We embrace the grind, we like to say. It's those little things every single day that you do to get better. So we're going to focus on that. And I think much like a stock chart, being a mom, you don't realize the growth till you stop. You look back and say, I've kept them alive. They're growing. They can speak now. They can write. They can run without falling every 2 seconds. But more importantly, in their faith, you can say, they remembered their Bible today, and I didn't have to tell them. They asked to read today. It's these little things, and you'll look back and you'll say, wow, there is progress. So I would encourage you, number one, take some time to look back. Sit with your spouse and say, how have our kids come along? That might be a tough conversation, but make yourself accountable and it will become better. All right, let's get to Proverbs 31. If you're sitting there and offended that I'm bringing this verse up or this book up right now, give me a second. This is a list of ideals. This is not a list of requirements. I also firmly believe the Bible would not list something in describing a woman that is not possible. This is where your exercise comes in. If you have your pen and if you're looking at the word, if there is anything that we cover, we're going to read through this together. And as you look at it and you say, that really upsets me, circle it. If there's something that you come across and you go, that's me, I'm doing that, do something else. I don't know. Cross it out. Like, you've got it. But if there's something that you come across and you're like, I've never considered myself even capable of this, I would like to do this or be this, maybe that's the one that you underline and that's the one that you focus on. I will say, depending on what version you read, you might get different interpretation. I'm going to be looking at the ESV. And in the ESV, they like to put little headers on sections, you know, to really keep us in check, frame our mind. And the header on this one is, a woman who fears the Lord. I think they derive this actually from verse 30, which ends with, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. We could probably do an entire sermon on that sentence. What does that look like? And if you're newer to this, the fear here is not of punishment or pain. The fear is just an absolute reverence of God and just an awe. Like, you could sit for an hour and just be in awe of how great and good he is. That is the fear that we're talking about here. when a person views God in that lens, they submit everything else to him because they trust in him. And that's the frame of mind we want to have as we look at this, and knowing that nothing that we read here trumps simply fearing and being in awe of God. But I promise you the other things will come easier, and you'll see here as we go through it. I think I'm actually going to skip ahead. I was going to have us read through this, but I'm going to just skip right to the next step, just because we do have some temperature issues. I'm getting pretty warm. All right, so when you get home, here's your exercise. I'm giving you homework. I would say read through the entirety of that passage, verses 10 through 31. And let me give you a little bit of color. As I've been meditating on this, reading this, grouping some of these together in what is some practical advice? Like, what is something we can take away here from these verses? In verse 10, it says, "An excellent wife who can find, she's far more precious than jewels." We could stop right there. And given, we probably should have. But seriously, understand, moms, women in this room, you are more precious than jewels. Alex kind of set the stage for that earlier with some of the comments he made. Men, this was written for you more than them. If you have a spouse, a girlfriend, heck, a mom, understand that this is God-breathed scripture. God considers women to be more valuable than jewels. If you take nothing else away today, know that. And know that the respect that should flow from that and the love that should flow from that. All right, let's get into some of these other ones. We got the heavy one out of the way. Now we're going to have some fun. 11 and 12, I'm going to group together. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. That is one that's triggering. I guarantee there's at least one person in here that's like, that's not my job. Remember, we're talking about a relationship, a healthy, godly relationship in the context of what the Bible defines. I am extremely blessed to have a wife who supports me in my career. And I know more than once she's probably taken a back seat, but I've seen that pay off. We can double down, triple down. Is that even a word? And that stock chart that you think about, it applies to other areas of life. We've seen that. We've seen that abundance. I know Justin's not up here. Justin Carlson, I guarantee he would say the same. He would echo that thing, that same sentiment. I want to give you a quick story about this. A few months ago at this point, my wife and I went out for our 10th anniversary. We're at dinner. We're getting to the end of our dinner. Our waitress had kind of been, she'd been pretty chatty, you know, asking some questions, and obviously she was observant, as a good waitress should be, or waiter. And we're getting about ready to get our check. She goes, "I couldn't help notice you guys prayed." My husband and I, we're newly married. You know, we're trying to find a church. "What advice do you have?" And I'm looking at my wife. I'm like, "Yep, I'm ready." And she goes, no, that's... Okay. I'll give her real advice. So I'm sitting here racking my brain. This has got to be good, right? I'm about to set the trajectory of someone's marriage. It's pressure. And, of course, Jessica has something really practical, awesome, biblical-based. She gives it to her. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to leave it at that because mine ain't very good. And I'm just sitting there, and the waitress, she ain't having it. She's looking at me like, let's hear it. I'm like, she'll quit. No. It's like 15 seconds of just pure stare. Okay, well, you asked. I don't know why I felt this word come to me. I didn't want to say it because it isn't PC. But I said, support your husband's career. That was my advice to her. And I'm like, she's going to be pissed. Like, no one wants to hear that, especially at work. And you know what she said back? I've been thinking about that. She's like, that's been on my heart. I really think, I am convinced If you are struggling in this area, that word is for you. I was really, really relieved when she accepted that word, because that wasn't easy. I did not want to give her that word, but that's the only thing. That was like an overwhelming thought that I had in that moment. I think the verse 11 there where it says the husband trusts in her, I'm going to actually jump ahead. If you don't have to pull this up, but in verse 16 it says, and this is incredible. If you're looking at verse 16, if you think about the context of when this passage was written, she considers a field and buys it. Are you serious? I don't do that today. I've not once bought a field. I don't even consider fields. With the fruit of her hand, she plants a vineyard. Any vineyard planters? I didn't think so. Where does this come from? This comes from the fact that your husband trusts you completely. You're able to do that. If you're not managing your finances in this way, where you both trust each other, the split bank account stuff doesn't work, folks. I'm going to let you simmer on that a bit. There should be complete trust in that, because a woman of God is trustworthy. I'm going to group 13, 14, and 24 together. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. You're all like, that doesn't apply. Okay, hang with me. She's like a ship of the merchant. That one probably didn't go over so well. And she makes linen garments. If you're like, this is irrelevant in this day and age, I disagree. This proves the capacity of someone, the ability of someone to be multi-talented. On Tuesday, you do this. On Wednesday, you can do something else. On Thursday, something else. We are not limited to single individual things. We are built in the image of God. Yeah. We have the Spirit in us. You will do things that you didn't think you could. Good, man. Go. Yeah. Ladies in back, if you have ever wondered that you can or can't do something, I promise you, you can. The word capacity kept coming up with that. We talk about capacity a lot at work in the industry that I'm in. To have capacity. This has capacity. It can hold water. But if no one fills it, it is worthless capacity. I would equate it to potential. You have a lot of potential. Start using that potential. Trust in the Spirit to enact that in you. This one right here is probably, I would guess, a little bit unpopular. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her husband and portions for her maidens. I think the big thing here is you're not afraid to wake up early. And if you're doing this today as a mom, maybe you're in a single house and you're waking early, know that this is honoring God. You honor God by honoring your household, and it matters. It builds that daily growth. You're adding to it. Know it. Reflect on that and take pride in that. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. I really wanted to do like a workout reference here, but I don't think that's what this is. I think there's something to be said about being strong physically, being active, that encourages and enables a strong spiritual life. But as you dive into this, this is actually more about enthusiasm, determination. Putting aside your comfort, it is summed up really well as the opposite of idleness. One of the themes in Proverbs is very much an opposition to idleness, to sitting around. To draw from our favorite biblical character, David, he made one of the worst decisions in his life when he chose to be idle. He stayed home from war. Oh, look at that rooftop. You know, that's what happens. Be busy. But not for the sake of busy, because I believe there's a Mary Martha story about don't lose sight of what's right in front of you. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Ladies, self-awareness is critical. This is another thing from in the line of business I'm in. We often comment on a person. That person does not have any self-awareness, or that person has a lot of self-awareness. They're going to go far. Be aware of where you might fall and be aware of where you are really good. If you don't know that, husbands, time to get to work. Where does your wife excel? What is she good at? Are you telling her that? Are you encouraging her in those areas? Self-awareness, it's really important. Being able to perceive what you're doing and its worth is very important. All right, ladies, this one's for you. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. This is proof, even way back then, that you can multitask and men cannot. I have nothing else on that one. It probably doesn't mean that, but it's gonna here. She opens her hands to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. If you have a heart for that, that's very much something that the Spirit would inspire in you, and that know that once again you're honoring God. If you go back to that initial, the header about we fear God, we honor God with all that we do, I think that's a big one. Getting towards the end here, she is not afraid of snow for her household. Remember, they didn't have heaters. They didn't have heated floors. They didn't have North Face. To prepare your household for the winter in an agriculturist society is a big deal. I don't think we'll ever truly understand it in this day and age how big of a deal that was and how difficult it would have been to get through winter when you're worried about cattle, your crops, your grain storage. Like, that's a big deal. But this says, women got it. They can get through this. It's not a big deal. You worry about your own stuff because they got this. Are you prepared is how I would sum that up. Are you preparing your house every day to be successful? If you are, you're honoring God. I think my wife does an excellent job of preparing our house for that day. I notice it. I do not carry weight with me when I go to work because it is taken care of. This goes back double Xing, 3Xing your career growth because you're supported at home. All this stuff ties together. All right, here we go. We're getting right towards the end here, and I think I lied, actually. There's still more. Yep. Her husband is known in the gates, and he sits among the elders of the land. Do you, as a woman, make sure that your husband is known well? Do you speak well of him behind his back? Or do you take an opportunity to take a couple shots at him? That one's tough. Always speak well. And there is, for you men out there, the exact inverse of this at the end of this. Take opportunities to praise each other when they're not around, and I promise your mind will change. Strength and dignity are her clothing. She laughs at the time to come. I absolutely love that. Can you imagine? Every day you wake up, you're like, I got this. I got this day because I'm prepared. All these other things on the list, I've taken care of them. Laugh at tomorrow because you've got it. I'm going to skip up to 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed. If you're a kid in here, when's the last time you just praised your mom? Her husband also, you thought you were getting out of that. He praises her. It's pretty blunt. If you're married in a relationship, this is number one, my wife will tell you, this is the thing I struggle with. Of all the things that I can do, I struggle with this one. There's many times where I'm looking at her, I think, yeah, you're doing awesome at that. Or you look great. Do I say it? No. This one's for me. It's like a kind of a confession. Alex does that sometimes up here. We've covered most of the other ones, but I'll end on 31 for the overview of this. Don't withhold. It says, give her the fruits of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. Don't withhold honor for your wife or your spouse. Let others know that they're doing a good job. Maybe start a conversation, and it might give someone else the opportunity to do that too. I don't know when we got in society in the spot where we just are, it's easier to talk crap about someone behind their back versus praising them. It just isn't natural. Make that change in your life. That's a woman who fears God is worthy of that, period. And if you fear as a man, if I'm talking her up too much, it's going to make me look bad. I need to raise myself up. I promise you it will not. You will look so different in this society. People are going to start asking you questions. And the next thing you know, they're going to be here listening to Alex bringing fire from stage. All right. We're getting close here. But to wrap that up, if you're sitting there thinking, there's no way I can accomplish this list of 12 things by myself, you're absolutely right. I don't think those are possible if you think you're going to do them out of your own power. It just isn't, it's not feasible. And for you men sitting there, you got the same problem. That list could apply in both cases, but it's Mother's Day. You don't get the stage today. How do you go about doing this? I would say the number one thing is prayer. I am a product of prayer. I'm pretty sure my mom has prayed over me since the day I was born. And there's been several situations that I've been in that I'm like, I shouldn't have got out of that. I'm pretty sure she was praying at that time. She didn't even know, but she knew. I think prayer is the key to this whole thing. And it's not just coming to prayer night. This starts every single day. You get a moment, pray about it. You worry about something, pray about it. You get together with friends, pray about it. There is a morning prayer group for the women. Wednesday night, get together, pray. But another big one, corporate prayer. When we're here in church, when we have communion opportunities, pray. I know the other day, Josh and Lydia were up here to pray over your kids. I think one family came up. Folks, take advantage of prayer. We need it. We absolutely have to have it to execute this list. It keeps you in that upward trajectory all day, every day. We're going to look to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 14 through 22, just to kind of bring all this together. Just to show you, this list does not live in isolation. The Proverbs list is not something that just got put in there to satisfy a checklist. I'm going to read through this real quick. And this is, the title here again is Final Instructions, but we're going to say this is Practical Instructions for Christian Living. This is how you can be ready. So again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 14 through 22, it says, we urge you, brothers, admonish, which I had to look that word up. It means warn the idle. I'm telling you that the idle warning, it comes up a lot in the Bible. Encourage the faint-hearted. Help the weak. Be patient with them all. See that no one repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. If that sounded a lot like the prior list in Proverbs that we get, it is. It's very similar. There's a lot of similar themes there. And once again, this is not specific. The audience here is more general audience. And then finally in verse 16, it gets into rejoice always. I promise you, we don't rejoice always. Everyone in this room struggles with this one. Pray without ceasing. Kind of touched on that. Give thanks in all circumstances. We live in a social media world. I've never seen anything more effective at making you unhappy as social media is. You look at, what do they just buy? Look at how awesome their family is. They actually smile in picture. It robs you of what you have because it's a comparison game. It's impossible to be thankful if you're comparing. And I would even say it as, in order to combat comparison, you have to be thankful. A again, I bring 1 Thessalonians in because, it wraps all those things up, but it gives you some more practical ways of accomplishing that. I think rejoicing, praying, giving thanks. In those moments, as you're finding a couple of the items in Proverbs 31 that maybe you are doing, maybe you want to incorporate, maybe that upsets you, that why is this a list? Think about it in that term. I want to give you a quick story about praying without ceasing. And this is from the perspective of a mom and a dad and their kid. My son Jagger was born. Everything was perfectly normal. I left the hospital to take my daughter home, and I got a call in the morning. Jagger can't breathe. He's been admitted to the ICU. I was like, it was fine when I left. Like, what happened? Come to find out, he doesn't have his nasal passages were completely fused shut. The fact that he survived that night is a miracle. But that was just the start of our fun with a punk little boy named Jagger. He had a midline issue. If you know anything about how kids grow and develop in the womb, they grow from the middle out. If something happens here, it's going to happen all the way down. Heart, lungs, anything in the face. It turns out not only does Jagger have the piriform stenosis, which is the nasal thing, which can be fixed. The kid had surgery at 7 days old and they cut his nose open. Like we live in an incredible world. But what Jagger's real issue is, he had an adrenal issue where his growth hormone production and cortisol production was impacted. He, to this day, still has to have cortisol every day. He doesn't produce it on his own. If you think, why are the whips so protective with our kid? Well, he doesn't generate stress hormones, so a little bit of clarity there. But the bigger thing is today is growth hormone. We all want our kids to be bigger than us, right? No, it's just me. Okay. I want my kid to be 6'3", about 240, and a linebacker. If that's not you, tell me your secret. But Jagger was never going to be that. At least not what the doctor said. So we got him on growth hormone. So every day, he gets a shot. And if you've ever seen a growth hormone pen, it's just like the EpiPens. And unfortunately for us, it's just like the weight loss pens. You might see where I'm going with this. Jagger was on growth hormone for 2 years, every day. We get into our fun times during COVID, and the supply chain starts to get a little tricky. And then, of course, they introduce, hey, you can lose weight by just injecting yourself. If you feel like I'm bitter about it, I'm working through it. And all of a sudden, they stop production of growth hormone in favor of these weight loss injections. We're talking to the doctors, and they're like, we can see, but he probably won't grow. Like, can you imagine a 4-year-old kid just isn't going to grow? So we said, you know what? This is an opportunity. Let's pray. And I'm got to back up. We've been praying over Jagger since the day he was born. That kid has been immersed in prayer. Like, he's drowning in prayer. He doesn't probably need baptism because he's been baptized in prayer. He still needs it. So we're talking to the doctors. We're talking about what are the options. And Jess and I, this is really tough. I don't want to sell this short. We're like, we're going to pray over this. And we tell this doctor this. She kind of looks at us funny, like, yeah, you guys are crazy. You do whatever you want. So we're praying for Jagger. He stops growth hormone. He's been off growth hormone for a year, and we went in for his checkup a few weeks ago. When you're around someone, you don't really see that they grow. It's hard to see it unless you measure it. But the doctor looks at his chart. She looks at everything. She goes, Jagger is on pace to grow 2.5 inches this year. If you don't think prayer works, I would disagree with you. There's no reason that kid is growing because he was diagnosed per the doctors, per this world, that he's not going to without help. And I tell you that story, not that I want you to feel pity for us, because that kid is, you wouldn't know it. You wouldn't know it if you looked at him. He is just like every other kid, except he doesn't deal well with heat. Probably struggling if he was up here. But I tell you that prayer, that whole list of things, it's needed because it's powerful. We can pray. The Holy Spirit gives you a power. Alex talked about that. I hope you can see what Alex talks about with the Holy Spirit isn't just ripping stuff out of the Bible and sharing it. It's true. We've lived it. My wife, who I feel like does a lot of the things on that list, prays very much and often about the things on that list. I would close with this. Think about Proverbs 31. Pick one or two. Pick one. If you're not doing it today, start doing it. Incorporate prayer. Pray with your spouse. If you are married and not praying together, you're missing out. If you're newlywed, there's never a better time to start. The habits you start today will be the habits you do in 10 years. If you're not praying together every night, it doesn't take an hour. It's 3 minutes. Just meet up. Pray together. Pray over your kids. Let your kids hear the words that you're saying out loud. If you feel like a fool, it'll go away. Your kids already know that. Honestly, I got to be honest. Like, that was one of my biggest things. My kids are going to think I suck at this. They don't care. They just know that you're speaking life into them, and they love it. And they start to believe it. So, moms, know that the work you do every day, it matters. It's tough, and there's help. Pray about it. Seek encouragement. Husband, men in this room, I like that Alex just kind of collectively referred to all the men. We have a duty here. And it's encouragement. It's reminding. It's support. And no, final thing I'll say, not everything is a spiritual high. There is a daily grind, and you can learn to love it. I'm very much a believer in embracing the suck, they say. The daily grind, like you get up and you know, we're starting this day with deadlifts. Let's go. If you don't do deadlifts, you don't know what I'm talking about. What is the thing that you get up most people hate and you're going to do it and you're going to love it? That's kind of the spirit that I see in this, is that we can learn as spirit-filled believers to do the things that no one else likes. And that list is a pretty good list of things no one else wants to do. So let me pray for us. And we can go get some fresh air. Lord, we thank you for moms. We thank you for the design, the perfect design that you have for families in this world that we live in, and that you have equipped moms. You've given them the potential to do great things. You've given all of us a spirit, but certainly you've given moms a spirit, the Holy Spirit, and they can power all of us, our families. We thank you for that. Lord, I pray a blessing over all the moms in attendance today, all the women who are considering that. Encourage them through your spirit. And bless everyone's day today. Amen.